Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Hope our listeners are enjoying their early Veterans Day holiday. As for me, I'm just calling right now, praying to RNGesus, so please give me this Camilla and new units. Please, RNGesus, I beg thee.
Well, easy. And Tellius Tyler.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are begging intelligent systems to please give us a new character. We not our 15th Corin Camilla Azura skin. It's the absolute worst. And also, I am in a really sad mood this week because all these pros have gotten to play Smash Bros. First of all, I should be able to play Smash Bros. Early.
Oh,
I'm pretty good. Secondly, everyone's saying Chrom is really, really bad because his recovery is trash, and I'm so worried. Like, I'm really upset about this.
Also, just for the record, the banner does have a new character in their mother, so...
Yes, Mikoto. Queen Mikoto. Yeah. But still, come on.
Yeah,
Queen Mikoto,
still.
Really? Really, that's that? I mean,
Well, no, I would disagree. I would say not do better than that, but do something better than just having her with her children and Kamiya.
Right. Yes.
Like,
yes.
If we're going to do Lost Parents, let's do Grail.
Right.
And Chrom's father and all of them.
That would be so cool. Yeah, like if you're going to do Parents, which I'm down for, and Garen's in the game, so Mikoto's cool, but you got Grail, you can do old Elliewood or old Hector, like just something cool. I mean, we have a lot of Hector and Elliewood already, but still, it'd be so, there's plenty of parents out there that they could do. They could
I'd
do the hero
old
on
Hector
Reed.
Just for the beard.
Yes, I mean, there's a ton of cool things that they could do, and so they were like, you know what, we're going to get people like Will to invest in this Camilla skin for the 15th time.
Hey, it works.
It does work.
It does work. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about tonight, including some very fun Smash Brothers news, but we're going to start off with, what have you been playing? And I'm going to go first because I recently wrote a review for the site about The World Ends With You Final Remix. I finally got enough time to beat it. And because I've played it so much, I wanted to make sure that I got the new content that was added to the Final Remix, which heavily, heavily teases a sequel. And for those who have never played the game, including Will and Tyler over here, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the game is just as good as I remember. It actually adapts to the Switch well, even though you have to play it in handheld mode. There is no option here. You have to play it in handheld mode because the TV mode sucks. All right? It's got like motion controls and it totally doesn't work. And so, yeah, you just go in handheld mode, use the touch screen, you're better off. I was really impressed by some of the things they did, like upgrading the visuals. They added a lot more music, including actually English interpretations to some of the Japanese songs, which is really, really cool. The game is just fun. I've always liked this game. There's a reason I made sure I got it on the Switch, outside of me wanting a sequel, obviously. But it's really, really fun. I'm actually playing a new scenario called Another Day, which is not the extra content. This is a special content. And it's so self-referential and fourth wall breaking, it's not even funny. Okay, yeah, it is. It's actually freaking hilarious. Like, the main character, Neku, in the main game is this really snotty, uptight, you know, get the heck out of my way kid. And then in this, let's call it an Elseworld story, he's like the happiest kid on God's green earth, and he goes, must resist emo urges.
Yeah.
it's hilarious. Oh gosh. And then there's this one scene. No, I can't spoil it. That has to be experienced. But it's really, really funny, and it's just totally different, and I really like this game. And then with the new content, which I actually had to look up how to get it because I wasn't sure how we got it, and then once I figured it out, I was able to play it. It's actually really hard. It's like a super hard mode, but without being super, super hard. It delves back into the Reaper game, which is the main plot of the game. And it introduces some new characters, some new twists, and then heavily teases a sequel, which I'm desperate for now. Like, I wanted the sequel before, but after playing A New Day, I demand it! I demand this to happen, okay? Oh, gosh. So, do me a favor, do all of us a favor, go get The World Into the Final Remix, go play it, go enjoy it, tell your friends about it. We need to get at least 1 million selling on the Switch. We have to! That is your mission. Okay, get it done. Oh gosh. Oh, and I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Noise, noise, noise.
No, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. There are flaws in the game. There are some kind of oddities of the art. I mentioned it last week with the odd book sprites that are somehow not upgraded, and there are some issues with the touch screen. Obviously, if you play motion controls, you're in trouble. But there are some, let's call it logic flaws in certain parts of the game. But this is still a very, very enjoyable RPG that you should be playing on your Switch system. So please don't miss out on this.
Yeah, I'll definitely be putting it on my Christmas list.
Same here, same here.
I would be tempted to not make you owe me that $20 just so you could go buy this game. Be like, I did it, Todd. I bought the game. Let's get the sequel.
Yeah.
So proud of you, Tyler.
If I bought the game and then we did get a sequel, then I wouldn't owe you $20. But if I bought the game and we didn't get a sequel, $20 would still be owed.
Fair enough.
I have been playing Fire Emblem Echo Shadows of Valentia as I try to wait for Smash to get here. It's very difficult. I figure a Fire Emblem game would be a good way to bury myself. And I do think that this might be my favorite Fire Emblem game, like my number one favorite.
Yeah, I saw your posts on this. It was actually a very interesting argument.
Yeah, I love it so much. I mean, the story is phenomenal. The music, phenomenal. The art, phenomenal. It's
cutscenes.
The cutscenes just take that storytelling to the next level, and you really feel everything that's going on. I mean, much as Todd would say about Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I see the flaws in the game, and I see why other people prefer other Fire Emblem games more. Like, I definitely, there's a gajillion arguments you could throw out there, but nothing makes me feel like I'm going to war quite like Shadows of Valentia does. And I really hope that Three Houses is able to replicate that feeling, because plus we have seen that your troops are commanding kind of small armies themselves, so it does kind of increase that scope. But I think Shadows of Valentia thus far has been the absolute best at making you feel that way. You have these skirmishes in the woods that are small, easy battles to win, but you're like, yeah, this would happen in a war. You know, you'd be ambushed and you'd have to take out, you know, the small party, or you'd be the ones doing the ambushing. There's just so much creative content here, how they approach every battle. I absolutely love it. I have my favorite units for sure. Leon is so good on this playthrough for me. He's ridiculous. Mei is always great. And on Alm's route, I've had a ton of success with Gray.
Gray was my unit. Was like killing everyone, you know. So
yeah. I mean, he's really good. I made him a Myrmidon again, and he's lived up to the expectation of what he did last time. But that game is so much fun. I absolutely absolutely adore it. But outside of that, I've really just been watching. I count this as what I've been playing. I've been taking my gaming time and watching Smash Bros. Ultimate videos, and I have to tell you guys, I am so excited for Young Link. The Young Link gameplay that I've seen is crazy. This guy, he's so fast, and his arrows, he can just sling them. Like, he shoots so fast. There's no cooldown on these. He just shoots, he shoots, he shoots, he shoots. It's amazing. Young Link looks so stinking good. I am so excited to be able to play as him again. Really, just any gameplay that I've seen of this game, it looks so stinking good. But I highly recommend going onto YouTube and just watching some battles, because it looks great.
Yeah, I've been seeing you tweet about it, and it's just like, I'm like, if it happened the first time, I was like, oh, you must have been watching the Treehouse, and then you're posting it like 3 days after, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're not doing another Treehouse session. Oh, and then I heard like you were watching Pros, and it's like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of... it's really frustrating. Like, Ally, one of the best Mario players in the world, today was like at this closed door secret event. He couldn't tell people where he was. He's just playing the game for hours. And he put a picture up of the full roster, and it's just like, I'm salivating. Waiting to play. He's getting to play every single character. Like, oh, my goodness. I need it. I absolutely need it. It's so frustrating that it's not.
But
we don't have
tell the good people at home, Tyler, how many days do we have until Smash Bros. Ultimate arrives?
We only have 29 more days. 29 more
Less
days.
Than
we're
a
very close.
Day.
Yeah, we're so close. We're so close.
Yes.
All right, how about you, Will?
For me, it's generally also been on the quiet side of things. Like, I've been more or less been focused on Splatoon 2. And yeah, just recently they did the new update. are going to the new weapons. Like that Pico Pico hammer, it's like, yeah, that hammer, it's very dangerous to say the least. The only major weak point is that if you get behind them when they do their specials, then it's easy to take them out. But that Pico Pico hammer, that hammer special, it can be very dangerous. If you're like right in front of it, you basically can't really run away from it unless the person using special is like really can't control or know goes where he's going right now. So, but that hand special, very effective, very effective. And the new sub weapon, the torpedo, like the homing torpedo you can throw as a sub weapon. It's interesting to say the least. Like, yeah, you basically can throw it, distract him, and then try to go in for an easy flank. Is like it's a very interesting special sub weapon, especially if you want to go for like attacking players on the high ground. So it's another good way, instead of just trying to shoot them from like with a far range weapon, this sub weapon is actually a pretty good substitute for to make up for your lack of distance and range. So not overall new weapons for four, I think, yeah, ironically, but I think it's 4.2 or 420. So there's that. But and yeah, also what they updated is we're going to a new Salmon Run map, which is the Arc Polaris, something Arc Polaris, yes, the Room of Arc Polaris. And yeah, basically it's a giant tower, but also has a ink rails, which is kind of a very ink grind rails, which is a new thing for Salmon Run. And playing this map is with the current setup, the first setup they have for Salmon Run is like, oh boy, it's pretty fun. It's very vertical. And if you like the other Salmon Run maps, is like it's not really as vertical, but this one is all about verticality and basically trying to like get on those grind rails like as an easy escape, just get back to your to the basket as quick as possible. And the most also fun part as well is like even as if you die in your li on your life ring, you can still actually grind on the wraps even while you're still in that state of, in that life preserver state. So yeah, you can still ride those rails regardless. So pretty nice thing, pretty nice. So if you get a chance to definitely try out this new Salmon Run map, is a very fun map. So definitely try it. I think the next one I believe is this coming weekend, which is gonna be a completely random item. So hope here's hoping for that. And naturally as well, just been kind of grinding up on Fire Emblem Heroes, just training out Kamala and getting ready for this coming banner, which we'll be talking more later on, later more in the podcast. But jeez Louise, and that Fae channel. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So yeah, that's more or less what I've been playing.
Cool. All right, well, like Will said, we got a lot of news to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, we could start off this section by not talking about Smash Brothers, but where's the fun in that? So in the lieu of the podcast, oh, sorry, the direct, which was ironically only a week ago, it feels like so much longer. Yeah, we had a lot of certain things falling out of the tree, so to speak. For one, the World of Light trailer has been like arguably like one of the most talked about things since the direct, and its comparisons to Marvel's Infinity War were so strong that some genius decided to actually take the World of Light trailer, mix it with Smash Brothers trailer, and put it on the audio of the very first Infinity War trailer. And it is so good. I mean, it makes you think that they actually all died.
Is
Oh
that
my
the one
God.
where he says, "Dread it, run from it, destiny arrives all the same"? That's my absolute favorite line.
He seriously, like they took it and they mixed it with some of the Ultimate trailers. They took some from Smash 4, like the Lucina Robin trailer. That one was used a lot, and they really worked hard to match up the audio. Like there's a section where these two characters are fighting in the Avengers trailer, and you hear the punches. And so they decide to put the Mac Ken trailer to it, and you actually see Mac punching when the sound effects are hitting, and so it feels so accurate. And it's just you, if you haven't seen it, just look up Super Smash Bros. Infinity War. It is hilariously awesome, and now I want this to be a movie. Oh gosh, it's like.
Yeah, when Sakurai said there wasn't going to be a ton of cutscenes, I mean, I couldn't be disappointed with him, but I wish that there was more because that
Wait, where
cinematic
did he
was
say
just so
that?
good. He said, well, it was implied when he said it's more about fun than story. So I would assume
Ah.
that means there's not a lot of cutscenes. I mean, there could be, he could be lying, but when he says it's not about story, I would imagine there's not as many.
Yeah. My favorite part, Tyler, of the trailer was when Thanos in the background says, run from it, and we see Sonic dying.
Yeah.
That was so sad. I love those pictures of Sonic holding Pikachu as he runs and gets hit. He's
trying to reach for Pikachu, and I have seen so many...
But people have drawn pictures of him actually holding him and stuff. It's adorable.
And I've seen people complaining that Sonic didn't make it out, and I'm like, Sonic's not faster than light. That's confirmed. He's not. It's canon.
Yeah,
so,
no, he wasn't getting out no matter what.
No, he wasn't getting out. Kirby's was different because the Warp Star does go faster than light, and you could even argue about that because he turns into stars and then just magically reappears. But whatever.
Right.
So, but seriously, look that up. It's really, really funny. Now, and awesome and epic, and, you know, we want Infinity War Smash Brothers now. Although, we've been saying this for a while, we want a Smash Brothers anime. Like, ever since the Palutena trailer, fans have been wanting a Smash Brothers anime. So, I mean...
Yes.
Especially now with World of Light, that just reaffirms it can be done. Be done, and they're talking. You have talking characters. Come on.
It just kind of we already know that Blizzard is definitely one of those game companies that does cutscenes very well with their CG. And with this recent presentation with their CG, Nintendo CG's game is not too bad as well. I mean, again, with the recent World of Light trailer, yeah, I can only imagine what would a CG movie from Nintendo would look like. It's come on, I would pay so much good money for it.
Yeah. So would I, and I was saying that during the Donkey Kong trailer, remember? When we were talking about how good Donkey and Diddy and the environment and K. Rool killing DDD and everything. That was, all the trailers. I mean, even the Ken Incineroar trailer, the fur on Incineroar looks so lifelike.
Little Mac's facial expressions
were
incredible in that.
Ken's hair.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. This one I was actually noticed by some people. It appears that if you're like Tyler and are desperate to get your hands on Smash Bros., you may not have to wait too much longer because Best Buy is already teasing that their kiosks is going to be getting a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate demo. I'm just reading the article just to make sure I have it. Apparently Best Buy did tweet on November 6th that they are going to be having a demo on their kiosks. I can't say if they are downloaded. Some said they are about to download. Some say they're going to be getting it soon. But go check your local Best Buy and you might have it. So, I've got one near me, and I might be heading into it soon, so we'll just see how that goes. But
the problem. I'm going to be hard to get out of Best Buy. I do have a Best Buy near me, and I will be every day.
Oh, no.
If they have every character there,
I don't know.
It will be a problem. Me and
I doubt that.
Will get over there, and we will sit, and we will play that game for a stupid amount of time. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah. I'm not sure they do that.
Last I checked, from what I remember, even the presentation said, I'm not sure if it's only tour exclusive, that whole on-site tours they were doing, but they said that all of the characters were available to play with. So I'm not sure if it's the same thing we went to Best Buy. I know there are also some local area malls, here in Queens, one Queens mall here in Queens. We'll have a demo station here, and of course, naturally in Nintendo World. But I heard it is going to be involving all characters, like I checked.
Yeah, it might be a different demo, Best Buy, I guess. But the college tour is definitely has every character.
Oh yeah, the college tour. Okay.
Yeah, tour I would understand because then they're trying to appeal as many people as possible. The demo, I don't know, that's tricky, but
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. All right. Moving on. Oh, I'm actually excited for this. So, for whatever reason, the NPD, which is the National... The National something...
National... I forget. Sorry.
Whatever. It's the people who do the numbers for America and talk about, what was the best-selling game of the month or the year and blah, blah, blah. So, they've been on this nostalgia kick. Dig, and they decided in the last week or so to start going back in time and not like literally, metaphorically, obviously. But wouldn't it be a trick if you would? Because I was so invested in, like, Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo during certain phases of their lives. Anyway.
Purchase Diary. National Purchase Diary. NPD.
That sounds weird, but whatever. Anyway, so they've been going back in time, and they've been looking at past consoles, handhelds, and best-selling games to see what were the best-selling games of these time periods. So one of the things that they did was they looked at the N64 and the Game Boy Color to see what were the best-selling games of the entire run of those consoles, right? So for the N64, and I'm very intrigued by this, number 10, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. This is before the Star Wars crash, so I believe that.
Yeah.
Hold on. Sorry. Number 9, one of Tyler's favorite games, Diddy Kong Racing.
That's right.
I'm actually very surprised by this. I mean, I remember playing Diddy Kong Racing, but I guess I just didn't realize it was one of the best sellers. So, number 8, a tiny little game here called Super Smash Brothers. Seriously, look up the history on this game if you didn't know about it, because it's hilarious what happened. Number 7, Star Fox 64, which I'm pretty sure is the last time a Star Fox game was ever a best-selling title on the Nintendo system. No, I can't say that. I don't know the GameCube numbers yet. Number 6, Donkey Kong 64, which I find surprising because that one was a bit more divisive than the Donkey Kong Country games. Yeah. So,
it was a great game. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
All right, number 5, Pokemon Stadium, which is interesting for reasons you'll be hearing a little bit later. Number 4, Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Ocarina wasn't even top 3. So, number 3, another one of Tyler's favorite games ever, Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, not one of my favorite games
I know.
Ever. For those of you who haven't listened to the show,
I heard
very overrated.
Yeah, he wrote a whole piece about how it was the most overrated Mario Kart game, even though it was one of the more important ones because it was the first time in 3D. But whatever, I'm not judging so hard. Number 2, this one I find fascinating. GoldenEye 007.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it from our perspective, yes, it does make sense because it is one of the more impactful multiplayer games of all time because of the whole, you know, 4-player split
local
screen.
Multiplayer. Yeah,
it was good. You know, slappers only playing as Odd Job. No.
Don't remind me.
Love Odd Job. Did you hear what they're doing to him in the comics?
No.
Okay, well, they have this 007 comic now, right? And apparently they made Odd Job Korean and thin and beautiful. Apparently. Like, those are their words, not mine.
That's not
what
odd
an
job.
Alternate.
I know.
Universe, odd
it's not
job.
Odd Job. And
what
then
an AU
and then the number 1 game was Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, of course.
I'm kidding. Super Mario 64, obviously. But, you know, again, it's fascinating. I mean, I would have guessed most of these, like Smash and Star Fox, maybe, and definitely, obviously, Ocarina and Mario, but Star Wars and Diddy Kong and GoldenEye, I guess I just didn't realize how big they were back in the day. So, okay, now, right. How many of these games did you guys actually own? How about that?
I owned many of them. I actually never owned GoldenEye. That's an odd fact.
I actually recall holding GoldenEye one time, and the only one I didn't get is actually Super Mario 64. And that thing I got like way later after in its life cycle. Yeah,
fascinating. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Yes.
I only own 3 of them.
Mario 64, Mario
nope.
Kart.
Nope.
You didn't own Mario 64.
Nope.
You definitely own Pokemon Stadium. You told
yes.
us that.
That's how I got the. That's how I got the system.
Yeah. Ocarina.
Yes, bought it from my cousin. And Majora's Mask, obviously.
And Smash Bros.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Star Fox.
Nope.
Shadows of the Empire.
Nope.
Diddy Kong Racing.
No.
I think I said all of them except
for
the one.
No, you didn't say Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong 64, yeah.
Here's
what
happened. Remember, you gotta remember, this is my first official console. Like, the last one I got was the SNES, and I inherited that from my babysitter. So, we couldn't exactly buy all the games I wanted. So, my best friend in life, whose family was rich, he had Smash Brothers, so I would play that with him endlessly. I rented Star Fox 64, because this is when you can actually like rent games from your local stores,
yeah.
And I beat that in like a day. I remember playing Mario, but I never owned it. GoldenEye, I played with a couple friends of mine over at their house. Kart was the same. I played Diddy Kong, I think, the same way. And then I never played, I don't think I ever played Shadows of the Empire. So, just wasn't,
Yeah,
it
no,
wasn't
I
my
never
thing,
played
you
Wind
know?
Waker. I actually, you're right. I'm kind of embarrassing. I own 64 cart. I played Ocarina of Time on the GameCube for the first time.
I believe it.
So I
I
don't
believe
have
it.
that on N64. Don't have Pokemon Stadium. Donkey Kong, I do have. I got five of them. I don't own Star Fox 64 either, actually.
Yeah,
My
that one
friend had
I
that, and I
didn't
played it
own.
a thousand times, but.
All right, and then moving on, let's head to the Game Boy Color, which is honestly one of my favorite Nintendo handhelds. Number 10, Legend of Zelda: Oracle of Ages was one of my favorite Zelda games ever, and reaffirmed my love of blue-haired girls. Just saying, Nehru, hi-yo. Number 9, the Pokemon Trading Card Game. That was a classic. I have a funny story about that one, but I'll tell you, that's another podcast. Number 8, Donkey Kong Country, which I didn't realize was on the color, now that I think about it.
I actually own that.
I remember. I remember.
Number 7, Zelda Link's Awakening, which is another one that I remember that one being on the regular Game Boy, so maybe they just made an upgraded version. I don't remember. Here's the biggest one, the shocker for me. Yu-Gi-Oh! Dark Duel Stories.
Oh, that was actually
Really?
pretty fun as I checked.
Yeah,
Yeah, it sounded
I
pretty
think I
fun.
remember having that one. And then number 5, Pokemon Crystal, one of my favorite Pokemon games. Loved Suicune. Number 4, Pokemon Pinball. Number 3, Super Mario Deluxe. Number 2, Pokemon Gold. Number 1, Pokemon Silver. So if you lost count, that is 5 Pokemon games in the top 10 on one system.
Makes sense. I mean, Pokemon was a bestseller on Game Boy and the Game Boys basically, yeah.
Yeah. So I had, let's see, I definitely had, I know I had all the Pokemon titles. That's not even a question. I had Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, not the Game Boy Colors. I don't know why that's there. I had Oracle of Ages and Seasons. I didn't have Donkey Kong Country. I definitely had Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm not sure about Super Mario Bros. Look, I'd have to look that one up.
That one had, I had that one. That one had a Boo racing minigame, and the Boos were different colors depending
Oh
on how
yeah,
fast
then I
you
didn't
went.
have that one. I would have remembered that mini game. But so I had the one, three. I had 7 out of 10. So that's actually not too bad.
Only had two, Donkey Kong and Mario.
Oh, I mean, I for me, I just played the heck out of Pokemon Pinball. That was a very fun game.
It was more fun than it honestly should have been. And then on the Game Boy Advance, they had like the Hoenn version, and it wasn't the same. I don't
Yeah,
know
it just
why.
wasn't.
All right. So you done with that nostalgia trip? No, you were not, because also the NPD decided to release every single best-selling game from 1995 to 2017. That's 23 years of gaming, and for the record, 2018 isn't over yet. That's why we don't have those numbers. Though we can already guess between Black Ops 4, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Monster Hunter. So that's probably gonna be our top three. Sorry, Smash Brothers. All right, but here's what I love. Here's what I find fascinating. Okay, 1996 to 2000, the best-selling games were all Nintendo titles. Super Mario,
Wow.
yeah, 96, Super Mario 64, 97, Mario Kart 64, 98, Ocarina of Time, 99, Donkey Kong 64, and Pokemon Stadium at 2000.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Okay, now here's the twist though. After that, not a single Nintendo game is at number one.
Really?
No.
I figured
No.
like a Pokemon Game Boy game would be at the top.
No, sorry. Just to go breeze quickly. 4 times Madden took it, 3 times Grand Theft Auto, 2 times Guitar Hero and Rock Band, the rest of Call of Duty. For 2000 on.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But here's the twist. There were some years where Nintendo had the top 3 spots, including, oh, I just saw it, 99, where Donkey Kong 64, Pokemon Blue, and Pokemon Red took all the top spots. There were times when Nintendo had 2 of the top spots, like in 2009, where Wii Fit and Wii Fit Plus were actually the best-selling games of the year. Try and fit that around your noggins. And they're scattered out. Like Wii Fit and Wii Fit Plus was the third best-selling game in 2008, 2009, and 2010. How
Yeah,
crazy
I
is
remember
that?
actually I used to get Game Informer. They used to put in the top 20 games each month, and the Wii Fit was on there for an extremely long time.
You'll like this one, Tyler. In 1996, Donkey Kong Country 2 was the third best-selling game.
Shout out. That's the best.
So,
one of the best platformers of all time. Oh.
But what I really liked about this, and I wrote about this on other sites, was that it really shows how gaming has changed over the years. Because if you think about it, those 5 years, Nintendo was dominating on the N64, even though that wasn't the best console. But then in 2000 on, that's when the PS2 came out and the Xbox. And that's when Madden really took off because of the better graphics, the better gameplay systems and everything. Grand Theft Auto was so controversial, so that obviously wrapped up in it. Guitar Hero and Rock Band in 2007, 2008 were some of the, you know, their peaks of their nostalgia of the musical genre. Then Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out in 2007, which meant by that time, once the hype got back up, once Modern Warfare 2 happened, boom, Call of Duty the rest of the way, except for Grand Theft Auto 5. So, and then again, this year we have Red Dead Redemption, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, and maybe Monster Hunter is the top three games, maybe, but just gaming trends change, so. But Nintendo will get the top spot again eventually. It will happen, maybe, possibly, hopefully, I don't know.
Hopefully with the president of Nintendo, definitely greenlit a very killer app, hopefully. We'll see. Yes.
But I just, I love this little walk down memory lane and seeing how everything like kind of fell. It's just fascinating. So thank you, NPD. National Purchase Diary. That just sounds wrong. I don't know why. Dear Diary, today the best-selling game was Mario Kart 64. Why doesn't Tyler like this game? Is it really just because he likes Sonic? I don't know.
Yeah, I was a big Dreamcast guy.
I really believe
wasn't.
It.
I didn't own a Dreamcast. Yeah. I really wish I did, but...
It's all right. All right, moving on to Fate Channel. Yeah, let's talk about Fate Channel.
Yep.
So, let's talk... Hold on, can I just... I want to jump in and just introduce this topic with... That thing was 13 minutes long.
Yeah.
It needed to be like a minute 30.
Pretty
like,
much.
There was a minute 30 of content in that. Like, I clicked through and just kept skipping the long chunks of Faye flying about. I'm going to go fly here now.
Flap, 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 flap. Flap,
I'm
flap, flap,
here.
Flap, flap.
That was a long flight. What is this? I don't know what this game is. What is this mode? Oh, it's Ether something.
Ether race.
It was torture.
That presentation. So basically, the whole entire presentation is basically can sum up is like they're introducing raids now in Fire Emblem Heroes, and basically, if you play Fate, it's pretty much similar in that aspect. Basically, you can create your own little tower defense. Like your buildings will serve as like different purposes, like heal, attack boost, defense boost. Or attack your opponents. Yeah, you set up your buildings and then set up your squad of four to I think up to six, eight player, eight characters at most. Once you reach up a high rank, and the better your rank, the more high you are in the raids. Your little town in the sky. It's I don't know. I mean, yeah, raids are common things in mini games now, but they're introducing in Fire Emblem Heroes, like basically introducing a fate system here in Heroes is like. Okay, that's nice, but not really what I'm looking for, really. Yeah, that's where my feeling is. Like, you're gonna incorporate more into the multiplayer feature of it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Well, it's good that they're giving you a way to interact with other players, but it could be better. And it's just the My Castle thing wasn't even that much fun. Fates, like I did it just to do it and to get better weapons, but. This seems like an even less fleshed out version of that. I agree. I wish that they had done something more interactive than what they did. At least they're taking steps, I guess, in the right direction. That's a positive.
I mean, only thing that was really great is again with the whole chalice, the hero chalice. Hero chalice. Basically, like you can get if you use these chalices, you get grand heroes, which for example, like the Black Knight or more. Yeah, basically all those heroes you face in the Tempest, in the Trials, and like, yeah, I just want to use that to make my plus 10 Black Knight. So
and Cho wants to make a plus 20 Macallus, so.
Yeah, I made a plus 4 Lion. I already used one of my things to get him. And that was Fate Channel, folks. We recap that in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and that was all the information that was there.
But wait, no, we didn't, Tyler. Because at the very end, right where I'm about to type the will, this fake channel is the biggest waste of my time. I start to notice that the screen is glitching out. And I'm like, oh, what could this be? And sure enough, that was the day that the light died. Sharina crying, reaching out her hand. Book 3 coming December 2018.
Yeah, December, yes.
Yeah, so, like, that was good. But, I mean, that was all I needed. I didn't need a whole Fate channel just for that 15-second thing.
Yes, yes. It was, I mean, that was 13 minutes. Like, I, you know, the first few times it was fine to me. I liked the Fae, or voice was kind of annoying, but it was also sort of funny, so I was okay with it. That was 13 minutes. I mean, you could, it really was like 2 minutes of content. You could have done that in two tweets.
And it's just like, in prior Fae channels, we had like even, like at least like 4 orbs or even like 3 orbs at most at times in the like that last holiday. This thing, they only showed off 2 things. It's like, come on, it should be a new banner aside from new Korin banner that's coming tonight or out at this time of recording. Like, not even a new banner or legendary, like, I don't know, get show us like the next Choose Your Legends, something hinting on that? I don't know.
It's yeah, like, geez, I was very disappointed that a single banner wasn't shown, especially after the very lackluster one we got with the, I don't even, what was the theme of this one? Like,
Bravery though, we're going to a Loki,
not Owen, that and, one, the one we're about to get with the Korins and the Mother.
What was it called?
It was like Heroic Dreams or something. And then Camilla says, I'm not the Camilla you know.
Yeah, exactly. Camilla so was like, that was a very disappointing banner. So, you know, outside of getting the Mother, which we know we now have to fight for one single orb. So it's just like, really? So I don't know. But this was by far the least appealing Fae channel. And I mean, Fae channels flirted at times with being bad, but it's always pulled it out with one way or another. But this was 13 minutes that I wish I had back.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I'll be more accurate. 12 minutes and 30 seconds that I thought I had back, because the book 3 teaser was thrilling. But, you know, I didn't need 13 minutes for just that teaser. It's almost like they knew we wouldn't like it, and so they put it right at the end just as they say that we didn't give you anything. You know?
Yeah.
They pulled a Sakurai. Don't ever ask us for anything again.
It's definitely, yeah, it feels like intelligent system is pulling a book from Sakurai, really. Yeah. Like, okay, you make us go through all this just for that little teaser at the end. It's like,
yeah.
Okay,
we fell for
fine.
It. We fell for
fine.
It.
And yeah, that's the one thing I'm just kind of curious about now. Like, what is going to be showing off at the teaser? Because again, if you remember at the end of book 2, let's see, Fjorm is technically dying due to the
spoilers.
Whole of ice. Spoilers. And I don't know, who is gonna die? Is it gonna be Fjorm? Is it gonna be us? It's like, who is gonna
Watch
die?
Nobody's gonna die. It's this mobile game. They're gonna let everybody
No, someone has to die, because they showed the teaser of the scene with Sharina, and that would be, even for Fire Emblem, a terrible fake out.
I know. I mean, and I guess they do kill people in Heroes in like really just like
in
aggressive
in
fashion. Like they just
in
like
general.
Yeah, yeah. Gunthra just kind of died, and
oh, yeah.
And
that ticked me off, because we got Gunthra in that one Legends banner, and then she shows up and she dies. I'm like,
in one moment in the story.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much. She's like, wait a minute, weren't you like the one we were fated to meet? And then like both the sisters seem to have a thing for your avatar. And then Fjorm's like, I gotta spend as much time with the avatar as I can. I'm like, what is going on here? Why
yeah.
is this family? Why was
I'm
this
so
family into me so much?
Not to keep harping on Fire Emblem Heroes, but the stupid forging bonds that we just had.
Yeah.
I mean, Loki and Aversa. First of all, Aversa is like an actual character. Like, they did her so dirty. Like, she's a pretty good character in Awakening. Not amazing, but she's a solid. She actually has a personality. Now, Loki has never had a personality, and it's a disgrace that she was even included in that vote. But it was so dumb and so terribly written. Like, I really lost a lot of interest in Fire Emblem Heroes from
oh,
that. It was so bad. Come on, Will, you know that was awful.
Speak for yourself. For me, like, again, I quote from Otacon on Metal Gear Solid. It's just like in my Japanese anime.
How
like,
many times do you
on.
Need a piece of data to tell you, I only have eyes for you?
Yeah.
Like, they have like 15 characters that do that. It's so
terrible.
Stupid.
It is terrible. I mean,
geez.
the only good thing that I actually gleaned from the Forging Bonds was the fact that Owain used their quote-unquote love of the Avatar to like get them to kill as many people as possible. The contest, the glorious contest of passion and love, and then oh crap,
Cliff.
What was it? Who's the Valentia kid here?
Cliff.
Cliff. Yeah, Cliff's like, this is gonna end badly, and he's like, no, this is for passion, it's for pride, and for glory.
The straight
like,
man.
This
Basically
is gonna
the
end badly.
Man.
Yeah.
You know,
Basically
so
the straight man.
He's,
yeah.
Cliff's the only reasonable one here.
Yeah, I love Cliff. Cliff is doing phenomenally in my Valentia playthrough. He's my best character in all.
Oh yeah, Cliff. Cliff was good. I had like pretty much every single one of the characters except for Faye. I made a swordsman, and it just worked out so well for me. And then I see I was supposed to make him like an archer or a mage, and I'm like, I'm good with the sword. He's good with you with the sword. So, but yeah, hopefully the book three lives up to what the other books did and has a better ending than book two, because that was way too abrupt. But all right, moving on. So, 1 week from today, by the time you're probably listening to this, Tyler's next favorite game is going to be coming out. Pokemon Let's Go! And a new trailer has come out for the game, showing it off more and confirming that all 8 original gym leaders and the original Elite Four are going to be in the game. And Red, Blue, and Leaf are also going to be in the game. Now, why is this significant? Well, the gym leaders and the Elite Four are just nice to know because we had gotten some teasers beforehand, but we weren't really sure what was going to happen. As for Red, Blue, and Leaf, Red and Blue are interesting because obviously we're not Red in this game. And we have already gotten confirmation that we're going to have a completely original new rival, which means that Red and Blue are going to be playing maybe a different kind of role in this game, which also puts into question what the rival is going to be doing. Because anybody who's played the original Pokemon games knows what happens when you beat the Elite Four. So that now that draws into question. As for Leaf, Leaf has only been seen in one other Pokemon game in history, and that was the Fire Red Leaf Green titles, which were the upgraded boosts of the original games on the Game Boy Advance. So this is actually only her second appearance, which makes it kind of a special thing. So if each one of them are their own characters again, that means that this game could have even more story than we originally thought. So
it's just a side story, yeah.
It's just a side story. I mean, I can just hear Tyler's anticipation for this title building as I'm talking about it.
You know
this.
What? This was good, though. This is definitely good. I am a fan of any time you bring back old characters. I've loved in Sun and Moon how you fought Red and Blue at the Pokemon Battle Tree. So I am happy that they're bringing these characters back. That said, I still think the game looks terrible.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. No, it's all right. That's his opinion, and he's entitled to it. So he's just going to have to hope for the best on the next game. Speaking of next games, The Legend of Zelda may be in the works for its next title. And though we've had rumors and speculation about them working on whatever the next game is, let's just call it Breath of the Wild 2, or as I want to call it, Return to Termina, but a man can dream. A ad for a job on the Nintendo Japanese website is asking for people for certain jobs, including level designer, and they ask for, and I quote, interest in Zelda. Gee, I wonder what they could be making. So, but this is good, because if they're asking for these people, it clearly means that they have an idea for what they're wanting the next game to be. So otherwise, why would they be recruiting these people right now? So,
I mean, if anything else, like, yeah, the team of Nintendo with Zelda is just, obviously, they will be working on something pretty much right now that's happening right now at Nintendo, like, next Zelda game. Again, it's what it is, it's up to guess. It could be as wacky as, I don't know, a UFO Zelda, I don't know.
Almost.
We almost had that, yeah, granted.
Almost had that.
Yeah, and so to see, like, prove that, yeah, like, there is a position wanting for new designers for this next coming Zelda game. It's like, okay, it's coming, it's coming.
Oh my gosh, I just had the greatest idea ever. Ready for this?
Oh boy.
Legend of Zelda Go. Or how about, let's go Hyrule. Hyrule, let's go.
Oh jeez.
And the graphics, they look like they're 3DS models.
Yeah. Oh, did you like the Pokemon Let's Go and Wind Waker models? Hey, we're going to take that to the next level here. Hyrule, let's go. And hey, Link talks! No, I'm joking.
I'm waiting for the day if Link actually does talk.
Okay, here's a real talk right here. Okay, so last week we talked about how Mario wasn't going to be in Wreck-It Ralph 2, right? So I actually had a great idea for what would happen if they decided to bring Link into Wreck-It Ralph. And so how I pictured it would be when they're in his, let's just call it his arcade, Link won't talk because that's not his job. And they're like trying to understand, or maybe Navi will show up and like be the translator and blah, blah, blah. And then they get out of the arcade. And so they're in like, the overworld, remember?
Right.
And Link is with them, and he goes, and so Ralph goes, man, that world was tough. And then you hear a voice go, yeah, now you know how I feel. And then they look, and like, Link's like, what? It's like, you're talking. Yeah. Why are you talking? Why not? But wait, why didn't you talk before? I can't in there. I'm not allowed to talk. It's literally part of my programming.
No, I like it, but cut off every part after Link talks and everybody looks at him. Because the joke, just let the joke speak for itself, you know?
I like that. That's better. So, like, after what, maybe?
Yeah, and like, and everybody looks at it, and it's Link, and Link's like, repeats what, and then
what?
Cut.
I like that. I like that. That's good writing. I like that. So,
please, make a rap, Ray, include Mario and Link, please.
And then Mario shows up. It's like, hey, everyone's here. All right, let's move on. All right, this one goes out to our dear friend Wario Will. So Travis strikes again, no more heroes. It's already been, like, quote-unquote confirmed for January, but now it seems to be even more confirmed. But more than that, according to a GameStop listing, it's going to cost only $39.99, which is actually really good when you think about it. And it may, apparently, have a season pass.
Ooh.
Included.
All right. If you get the physical version, the season pass is included. If you get the digital version, which may be cheaper, we don't know, you don't. So if you really think about it, you're getting the physical version with the DLC already included. So you could argue that the game's actually like only like $30. So there you go.
It's definitely interesting, like, to see this listing. Like, okay, if it's coming physical, I'm a happy camper because I love getting my games physical, sure. But to have it come with a free season pass, I mean, that's kind of rare during the season at least. So, I mean, unless you buy like those big deluxe editions or gold editions, which very stuff that. But yeah, for No More Heroes Strikes Again and have a season pass to come with it, I mean, I'll just buy my physical edition. We can't wait for that.
My only question is, what will the DLC be? Is it because this game is basically indie game heaven with Travis Touchdown and Batman or Badman?
Yeah, bad. Yeah,
bad.
Batman.
Who happens to build a bat? So, like, it makes me wonder: are they gonna like add more indie game worlds with all the DLC content?
Well, I mean, again, they have worked with Shovel Knight. We're going to the Yacht Games with their new with the shirts you can customize with Travis Touchdown. And given the recent new games that has been indie games that are coming out on the platforms, I wouldn't be surprising if if Suda51 kind of added more onto that, like in like new worlds. Of that sort. I mean, what is current, like, the news, the hot indie game that's happening right now in Nintendo Switch? There's definitely a possibility. And knowing Suda51, he always has that thing for, like, adding little Easter eggs and even, like, full-on levels that of his previous titles. So I'd be very happy if he referenced something like Killer 7, if anything else.
Maybe. We'll just have to see. We'll keep you posted on that. Alright, moving next to Kirby Star Allies. A report noted that the next update of character allies that you can have in the game, Wave 3, will be coming out on November 30th. And let's see, who we got this time? We got Magalore from Kirby Return to Dream Land. We got Taranza from Kirby Triple Deluxe. And Susie from Kirby Planet Robobot.
Yes.
So.
Hey, wait, didn't we get the three girls from this game, Kirby Star Allies?
The three main enemies. Yeah, I think so. I think
it's not in this article, but we might have.
I thought I saw them on the official Twitter art, but I'm not sure. I don't remember their names.
Right.
Regardless.
This game just keeps getting bigger, and again, this is one of the bigger surprises for the Switch for me because like it was a million seller really quickly. So, now I see the three sisters. Yeah, I see it. So, But yeah, that's a lot of new ally characters, and yeah.
it's good to see like this game really like just that free content update, especially. I mean, again, we just had like all these new allies we could play with, especially like quote unquote evil allies like Mirror Meta Knight. So just to see all these characters like come into this one game, I mean, that's I can't help but wonder what the heck HAL Laboratory is doing. I mean, offering all these great free content is like, props to you, props to you.
Yeah, Kirby's Three Allies is a really fun game, so I'm glad that they've continued to add stuff to it. I mean, none of this stuff really seems tempting to make anybody who didn't buy it, and I don't really think it's that tempting to make people who've beaten it go back to play it, but still, it's been a good trend that the Switch has continued to support its games post-launch.
Yeah, hey, I'm just glad that they're, continuing on with the content. Rock on. Let's see. A new update has brought YouTube to the Switch.
This was definitely quite surprising
Yeah.
this
Well,
today,
it was
yeah.
rumored for a while, and then like today, it just I'll tell you as time is recording. It just came on.
It just dropped. It just
Boom.
dropped out of nowhere.
Now, according to sources, the app does indeed support 1080p, but it doesn't support 60 frames per second. But whatever. So, and of course, you can do it in both TV and handheld mode. So, yeah.
And just basically playing around with it. I mean, it's very responsive. It's like very good. It basically is an upgraded phone, if anything else. Like, so in case you don't like getting tired of seeing it from your phone, but you just want to have that extra real estate on screen, then yeah, the Nintendo Switch is pretty much the next best thing. And I don't know.
I don't
For
know.
me, like, definitely don't try to control it with a pro controller, because if you try to control it with a control stick, it is like very sensitive. It just like goes everywhere. So definitely use like a D-pad or just. I'm not sure if it also supports a touch screen. I need to try that.
I'd be
So
surprised if it
over.
didn't. I don't know. I haven't tried it out because I have YouTube on my computer, so why do I need it on my Switch? So, but no, I'm just saying, I don't. I'm a hermit, so I don't exactly go out with my Switch. I honestly have never taken my Switch outside of my house except for maybe one time, and then I realized I didn't have internet connection because of where I was. So I was like, "Oh crap, this didn't work out like I planned it." So, whatever. But yeah, again, this is a big thing, and then I know a lot of people are still hoping that Netflix comes out on the Switch, but for now, YouTube will be at least a step up. Now Tyler can watch Smash Brothers. And pretend he could put on a Smash
Oh
Brothers
my
video
gosh, I
and
could,
pretend he's
yeah.
actually playing the Smash
Oh,
Brothers.
it's gonna be so great. Do they not know that I am a top player? No, I'm sure I'm not actually a top player, but I consider myself a top player. Give me an invite to one of these events.
Because I've actually been seeing the pictures on Twitter right now, like just play a video on any game on the Switch. Like, look at me, I'm playing Fire Tokyo Mirage Sessions on the Switch. Or no, I'm playing Red Dead Redemption on the Switch. Or playing the full Final Fantasy 15 on Switch. Everyone's
Oh
been
my.
making out of those fun images on Twitter right now. It's pretty hilarious.
So, now Tyler, if you really want to do it, you know what you have to do. You got to get a streaming card, get onto Twitch, build up your empire, show yourself losing, I mean, challenging us in Mario Kart, and
Yeah, you're
proclaiming
right.
your love of Sonic, that kind of thing, and then
Yeah,
Nintendo might notice you. So
yeah. Yeah,
don't
you're
come
right.
complaining to me. I mean, the podcast was only the first step.
You're
All
right.
right,
I need to create the Empire. So
there
when
you go.
Smash Ultimate
If it
2
was
comes
this, if
out.
it was that easy, we'd all be working at Nintendo right now.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So, all right, last little topic, and I definitely wanted to talk about this, is the Mario movie, the animated movie, that is coming by Illumination, the team behind Despicable Me and the Minions. A new interview was done with the founder of the studio, whose name is really long and escapes me, but he talked about why he feels that this animated Mario movie will work. And one of the reasons is that Shigeru Miyamoto, of course the creator of Mario and video game legend, is a key part of their development team, story-wise. So he's working with them to make sure that this Mario movie is what it should be, or at least at very least what it could be. And even the founder was like, yeah, a lot of video game movies just ignore the dev team, and even I've accidentally done that once, and so I'm making sure to not do that. I'm trying to be careful and everything. And he's not even afraid of what happened with the last Mario movie, the one we don't speak of, because he's like, if I had to follow up a good movie, it's actually more pressure. But now I just got to make sure to not do as bad as the last one. So, I respect that philosopher. And he also acknowledges that there is a challenge in making this kind of movie because a Mario game does not follow a quote-unquote three-act structure like a movie does. So he's working hard with Miyamoto and the Illumination team to try and make sure that it follows a three-act story while also being true to who Mario is. So that hearing this kind of, you know, breakdown of the process, trust the process, makes me happy because a lot of people just rush into things like, oh, I know what a Mario game is. Let's make that into a movie. Where this is like, I want to make sure I know everything I can about Mario and the Mario games and what Miyamoto is feeling with these scenes, and that's all good. And again, this is the team behind, you know, Despicable Me, the Minions, they're about the Grinch movie that's about to come out. They did that one. So it's going to look good and it's going to be funny. It's got to nail the spirit of Mario.
Yeah.
So. Right. Like, I can only imagine that definitely what kind of theme they're definitely going to go for. Because, again, they're talking about one of the game's greatest icons in the world. So, like, what kind of theme they're definitely going for? I mean, if anything else, the most thing I can probably compare to is probably like something in regards to, like, Toy Story. And Toy Story is, like, going on for, like, pretty much the entire generations. So probably it's in similar impact with, like, in that level. That's what I feel like. But Mario in this is like, yeah, you just gotta have to do it right, if anything else.
And I know that some people out there are going to be like, well, there's no way they can mess this up. To which I say to you, Super Mario Brothers movie. Super Mario like Run. Like, how do you mess up an endless runner with Mario?
Yep.
Yeah.
True,
there have been bad Mario games. Okay, it's just the way it is.
You know what they need to do to make it good? They need to not Miyamoto. Miyamoto, I think it's helpful, but what they really need to do is consult the writing team for the original Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door writing.
Because
those and really
Intelligent Systems.
Yeah, and the Mario and Luigi series as well. Because even though those games are very funny, they're really well written.
First two or three.
Yeah, the writing is good in all of them. But the gameplay, obviously, the first two and three are the best. But, because I mean, that would be a good tone to strike. I'm curious how they'll do, like, Bowser and Peach. You know, like, how are they going to sound? Peach only doesn't really talk a whole lot. And Bowser, in those RPG games, they both do talk plenty. So
that's more the style
that they should try to go for.
Yeah, that's loads. See, another suggestion that I know I'm going to sound callous when I say this, but watch the Mario versus Sonic Death Battle. Not for the content per se, but for the animation of the battle between Mario and Sonic.
Because
that was so beautiful, from the fireballs, the cat suit, the bell, the hat, the star. You know, like when I see a fight scene, and granted, the Illumination will be doing it in 3D, I want that kind of feeling that I am watching a Mario game being played and, you know, like having the sound effects with everything. Like, that's why that death battle really shined. Because they totally embraced what Mario and Sonic were, and then just went crazy with the battle animation. So, do that, Illumination, and I'm sure you'll be fine. So, if they do it right, guaranteed 50 million opening weekend. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
If they do it right. Alright. Well, it's time for another main event. And we could not talk about Smash Brothers in this main event. But where's the fun of that? Now, if you hadn't heard, last week during the Smash Brothers Direct, Masahiro Sakurai revealed that there was going to be a five character fighter pass. And this would be just like with the Wii U 3DS games where you can download them and everything. And he said that at the time, this was all of last week, that the final characters were not selected, which gave hope to people like us, who thought, oh, maybe they'll do another voting ballot for at least one of them. Not so much. Because according to Sakurai, in an official tweet on his official confirmed Twitter handle, which there have been fakes, but this is the real one, he said that all of the characters have been selected by Nintendo. So we're going to talk about how we feel about this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, I got my 17 cups of coffee.
I'm actually drinking coffee right now, ironically enough.
Yes,
Will,
but
it's 10:19 at night.
Yes, but is it as black as my soul, Will? Is it as black as my soul? No. I have an extra go dot, so you can shut it. But no, this is very interesting news. And before we discuss what we think this will be in terms of characters, I want to discuss how we think about this in terms of decisions. Because, again, they said this the entire selection was made by Nintendo. And then Nintendo sent their decisions to Sakurai, and Sakurai himself decided if these characters could work as fighters, which makes sense when you think about it. So, of the selections, he took the five that he felt was best for fighters, and then they made it the plan. So, Tyler, I'm going to start with you. What do you feel about this?
I'm glad about this. I know that this sounds just like so backwards. You would rather the fans be able to dictate, but I trust Sakurai. I think that when you and Nintendo to create an interesting roster here, I don't want to see just like the fan favorites. I'm all in for whatever off the wall characters that they're going to come up with, and I'm sure they have some big surprises up their sleeves. I'm actually okay with it. Plus, we did get plenty of ballot characters. We got Ridley already. We got King K. Rool already. We got Bayonetta in Smash 4. So he's listened to the fans as is, and I'm excited to see what Nintendo has in store. I'm sure that if they're giving the decree, they have an idea in mind.
I'm kind of in the same boat as well. Like when I first heard news that they locked down the plan of these next five characters, it's gonna be interesting to see at least to expect what the five characters have decided on. Like previously, I as you said, I would have loved to see like an open voting ballot to see like what would be the next character, or even like something that's outside Nintendo always had like, that one chance. But to have Nintendo and Sakurai decide on the five characters is, I mean, again, if that's what they want to do, then sure, I'm all for it. I definitely trust Daddy Sakurai. I mean, he is literally God in this game world. So if he feels like these five characters are worthy to be in this title, then we'll just have to see how it is, honestly. Like, because again, Petey Piranha was like definitely an off the wall character that nobody expected. So, like, what other five characters he decided alongside Nintendo? Like, is it in this property? Is it something outside Nintendo? Like, again, we won't know until once they make it. But again, I trust Sakurai as well. He knows what he's going to do, either for better or for worse, for the fans or for not. He makes this game how he wants to make it. So, which again, wait and see. I trust Sakurai, and yeah, hopefully it's characters we like, or who knows.
Yeah, I mean, when I first found out about this, I'm not going to lie, I was a little taken aback. Because, again, we had just heard last week that none of the DLC characters were decided or made. Or at least
yeah,
that's
that
how
was weird. He was kind of vague about that. Did you interpret it that way, that he didn't have any of them? Because I didn't believe that. I think that he did have them, but he just didn't want people to.
And I was literally about to say, or at least that's how I interpreted it, because he made it sound like nothing was set yet. And then we had the backup proof with Piranha Plant, because he said that that's the pre-order character that's more than likely coming out in January. So that's why they haven't worked on any of them, because they're working on Piranha Plant. So when I heard about this, I was honestly a little taken aback, because it's like, well, wait a minute. You just said that, you know, you don't have a lockdown. So does this mean in literally the course of 4 days that Nintendo had that super secret war room meeting and, you know, someone suggested Shadow the Hedgehog and they got thrown out the window, you know, it's like, you know, so that kind of thing. I don't know. It's like, we need bold Smash Brothers characters. Why don't we take out Shadow from the assist trophies? It's glare. But, I did that one just for you, Tyler, because I know you won Shadow.
I did want Shadow.
I know. But, you know, hearing you guys' arguments, you make a compelling case. Now, I'll admit, I think when we talked about this last week, we all agreed that if there was going to be a fighter ballot, it'd only be for one or two characters. And just like Bayonetta, it'd be like the last characters they make, because they obviously got to think of a plan, make sure that the voting ballot actually gives a character that is worthy of being fighter like Bayonetta, and go from there. So, which is actually why I like what Sakurai said about the whole, you know, Nintendo gave suggestions and then I decided which ones could be fighters, because there might have been someone who didn't exactly fit the mold. So I appreciate that. But you're right, when it comes to this, and again, we know that there's going to be no Echo Fighters, no clones. So they would not screw, they're aiming to not screw us over with this DLC, which you could argue they did a little bit with like Roy and Lucas and technically you two. So, you know. But now that everyone is here, that means you got bold new possibilities. So the potential is there to bring in some really interesting characters, surprise characters, and yeah, there's only five, but you know, the world was changed with five characters in Smash Brothers over the years, between Snake and Sonic and Cloud,
yeah.
Bayonetta, Ryu, you know, Ice Climbers, you know, Piranha Plant, Rob, Game and Watch, you know, we've been surprised before, so you never know. So
the impact that this has, though, is like it's pretty profound, because it's not Sakurai picking, like it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I think that this really hurts a lot of fringe characters that people really want.
Shadow,
like,
Isaac.
A lot of people want Shantae, and I think that this Shantae. Really hurts Shantae's chances.
Shantae or Shovel Knight.
Yeah, but I don't think that helps either of them, and I don't think it helps Geno either, but I don't know if you guys have heard of Blinkgate, as I like to call it.
Oh boy,
So Blinkgate is pretty fascinating. So remember during the Direct, I think it was right after Sakurai announced the DLC plans, it was really odd, because I remember being taken aback in live action how strange it looked like it was edited. There's like silence, he has his eyes closed. And then he opens them, and
weird.
He closes them again,
right,
and he opens them.
Right,
and it's, like, really weird. It just seemed, like, a poorly edited. And, like, maybe he was just trying to say he was tired, but it looked so odd. And then you look at Super Mario RPG, when the Geno doll awakes, he kind of does the same thing with his eyes.
Oh, my God.
So, iGate has taken the internet by storm.
Well,
the internet by
Blinkgate.
Storm. I mean, yeah, Blinkgate, right. Blinkgate has taken the internet by storm. And I shout out to Andros Alex for retweeting this and showing it to me, because it was pretty weird. Now, I don't believe it. I don't think Geno's going to be in, especially because Nintendo's picking the characters. I definitely expect us to see some more high-profile third-party characters. I think Eldegard from Fire Emblem has a bigger chance, and people will freak out if they add another Fire Emblem character. But with Nintendo selecting, I think we're going to see some upcoming games get promoted with characters.
That doesn't seem to be the case. And given maybe these next five characters are probably like basically a next promotional characters to promote the next coming year of 2019. Like, what other games is coming out in 2019? I mean, yeah, we have Fire Emblem Three Houses or something. Yeah, other games are coming up down the line. I mean, yeah, what other games coming out for Nintendo in 2019? And I feel like with Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think that is also the perfect opportunity to do, like, kind of a cross-promotion right there. It's kind of like what they did when they introduced Corrin at the time, when Fire Emblem was, like, kind of at the high peak. So it feels like that's kind of like what maybe Nintendo's going to be trying to do this time as well, it feels like.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities here, and like that's the thing. It's like, even though I think some of us are at least a little worried, especially since the last character reveal was Piranha Plant, you have to have at least a little faith, because you know Sakurai wouldn't pick fighters that are a little too off the wall. I mean, as Tyler noted last week, the Echo fighters aren't technically new fighters because they're not included in the official roster according to the site. So with those now out of the window, and no, obviously no clones are going to happen, it's the question of who deserves to be in the roster, which is infinite in its potential, especially with all the third party characters that you could have in the game. So lots of possibilities. So with that, we are actually going to make our selections for who we think are going to be the final five characters in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So, Tyler.
Yes.
Captain of Blinkgate. I will allow you to go first.
Okay, so I did mention Eldegard already from Fire Emblem Three Houses. She's an axe wielder, so she's a little different from your standard Fire Emblem fighter. I think that will help. She's definitely on my list. Banjo-Kazooie, I am keeping on my list as well. And that's because, I don't know if you guys follow Papagino's on Twitter, but he is a Smash YouTuber, and his channel is great. I highly recommend you check it out if you haven't yet. He basically talks about the roster a lot. And he has a Microsoft source who has said that they've seen Banjo. So, I mean, it could be wrong, and his source could be just, you know, full of it and not actually accurate. But I kind of trust Papagino's. And he does have Banjo on his list, so I think that that is possible.
But I must ask you, if this reveal is wrong, would that make him a Grinch?
Ooh, good point. He was a Grinch leak believer, so that's a strike against him. Uh-huh. You know my thoughts on Sora. I think that Sora is coming, and I think Sora will be the first announced character. He will be announced at the Game Awards, along with Kingdom Hearts 3 for Switch. So I got him in there. I think it's weird that Ubisoft doesn't have a character. Ubisoft and Nintendo are pretty tight. Rayman has a really good chance of making it in. I would love to see Rayman be in. Now, that's a lot of third-party characters, Sora, Rayman, and Banjo, so odds are one of those is wrong, at least. Probably all three of them are wrong. But my final pick would be Dixie Kong. She was shown as a spirit, but spirits aren't necessarily deconfirmed. She's probably the biggest first-party Nintendo character to not be in. I mean, maybe Bandai Waddle Dee.
I disagree with that. There's so many first-party characters that could have been in there above Dixie Kong, so sorry.
I mean, Dixie Kong has been in so many games. She's probably the third biggest Kong. Cranky. Donkey, Diddy, Dixie.
Cranky.
Dixie's above Cranky.
Cranky's above Dixie. Watch
No, come on. That's not true. Dixie's playable Dixie's playable more often than Donkey is. I guess that's not true, but it's close. Who would you say is, you'll probably tell me in your list. So yeah, those are my picks. I'm going Sora, Banjo, Dixie, Eldegard, and Rayman.
Will?
Well, actually, I haven't actually picked up on my list already, but I...
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I know.
This is a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah.
My character's basically, I'm kind of viewing the list right now, and I'm seeing also a long time period, we're also going through a character battle at GameFAQs, and it's giving me some ideas. So, one character I feel like they may have a chance of putting, I'm going to say Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. Because, we're having a lot of antagonists as well. That's kind of also with the theme. So why not have Cloud's antagonist in here? So, yes, it's another sword we order granted. But, again, everybody really loves Sephiroth, if anything else. So I think it would make a lot of sense, if anything else. Regarding to another character, I also really do believe that Sora is definitely a lovely character. Because, yeah, Square Enix has actually been kind of very friendly with Nintendo as recently as well. I mean, given with the recent, especially with the recent release of Final Fantasy, the World of Final Fantasy, Maxima. So that
you think they'd go with two Final Fantasy characters though?
Maybe
make it three in the roster. I think that's way too many.
Maybe. I mean, again, it's most likely they want to have at least a two character representation, like the Street Fighter. No, so well, and then there's the Citroën. But I digress. But yeah, and the next character, I feel like, it's so odd, though, but it just might work. Phoenix Wright. I mean, it could happen because, Phoenix Wright made it into Marvel vs. Capcom. So why not have another one with Capcom and probably Phoenix Wright, which Phoenix Wright has had a birth on the 3DS, the original DS. Yeah. So Phoenix Wright actually would make an oddball character choice, but it would work. So why not Phoenix Wright? So that's another one. My third choice, this one's pretty very not surprising, but I feel like everyone's been clamoring for it, even on Twitter, on the company's Facebook post, Brain Goku. I know, it's not really likely, it's really another oddball choice, but a lot of people really just want to see Goku, a legit anime character, in this game. I mean, it's very unlikely, but if it does happen, Funimation, everybody in the anime world is just like, Goku is in Smash. That would just break the internet, I feel like. So, yeah, Goku. My fourth character. I don't know. This one's kind of a bit of an oddball choice, but very, very unlikely. But I was thinking, And this is just a very crazy theory, but Maximilian Dude had this theory, like, what about bringing a Mortal Kombat character?
Oh
I
no.
I know,
That
I know,
would
I know.
never happen. We're talking about
No.
characters who you think are gonna make the game. You
No.
think that a Mortal Kombat character would make the game?
I know. It's a crazy theory. But again, with recently, that's again, Mortal Kombat did have its beginnings. But I mean, yes, back in the Genesis, but also on the Super Nintendo.
You're
Remember
not
back in
wrong.
those days. So like, there's this crazy theory that I don't know. Maybe Mortal Kombat 11 is gonna be coming out in next year, and maybe coincide with Smash Brothers. Who knows? Again, it's a crazy theory, but so it's very unlikely, but it could be a chance. Who knows? I don't know if Nintendo's gonna approve of it, but it's a chance. It's a chance. Who knows? I'm just throwing it out there. And the last character, I'm just kind of like going through the list right now. Like, it's the only thing I could probably say. Like the other character, maybe this is the stretch as well. Probably this is going on the 3-character limit, but I feel like maybe even Chrono Trigger of yeah, Chrono of Chrono Trigger may possibly make it here on the
That would be
list.
awesome.
Because
That would be
yeah,
really cool.
Chrono Trigger made an appearance on the Super Nintendo.
That
It's
was
been
his
coming back.
first appearance, and then
Yeah,
everything else
first.
was a port of that game.
Right. So and check have Akira Toriyama do the artwork alongside Sakurai. Like that's a dream team right there. So Chrono Trigger. I would literally be happy about it because again, that game is a timeless classic. So why not have Chrono in this game? So yeah, those are my lists. All very off the ball choices, but there is a possibility.
He thinks that Mortal Kombat's gonna be in
I
Smash
would say
Brothers.
that there's not a possibility of the Mortal Kombat character, and
I
not
don't know. Again, it's a
three
stretch.
Square
It's a
Enix
very far-fetched
characters.
stretch. Granted, it's a
So I'm
far-fetched
sorry,
stretch.
but I have to disagree because, look, Goku, yes, I could totally see Goku being in there, especially because of fighters now being on there. Xenoverse, I almost said Xenoblade. Xenoverse 2 did really well on Switch, sold over 500,000 units. And I honestly don't, I don't know how Fighters is doing, but I would imagine it's doing well enough. So Goku has been on there many, many times, and there's been a big fan movement to get Goku. And Bandai Namco, of course, has helped make the last two Smash Brothers games. So Goku being in there would make sense. Not Mortal Kombat, all right?
I mean, it's a fun idea, though. I will say it's
Oh,
a fun idea.
sure, it's a
I
fun
just could never see
idea.
Nintendo picking that. Like,
Yeah,
Nintendo is the one
exactly.
picking it. And Goku, again, another fun idea, but just Nintendo picking it, I don't see it.
You never know. Again, Piranha Plant.
Yes,
No, true.
exactly.
Nothing is off limits.
You
There's
never
nothing off
know.
limits.
You
Right. Nothing
never
is off
know.
limits. Limits.
Nothing is off limits. All right, my turn. All right, this is actually a little tough because I'm
Hold on,
trying to make sure.
I'll take this one for you, Todd. Your first pick is Chorus Men. I know you really think that Chorus Men have a high chance of.
And Tyler's muted. Okay, no, I'm trying to make picks that you guys honestly haven't have. So, my first one, I'm actually going to get the third party character out of the way. I'm going to go Neku Sakuraba from The World Ends With You.
Right, another
Because,
more character. Okay.
oh yeah, I mean, again, Square Enix, yes, but the game just came out on Switch, which, and in fact, by the time they have made these selections, it's possible they know about the sales numbers for the game. So if they think it's big enough and they know that Square Enix wants to make a sequel, why not boost it even more by bringing Neku into the game? And he would by far have one of the most diverse attacks movesets in the game because of his psych pins. And then his final smash would be him summoning up Sheiki, Joshua, and Beat to do one of their combo attacks, which would be freaking awesome now that I really think about it. Likelihood 40%, but I still think it's a chance. I put
Put
that
that over.
over Mortal Kombat. Gosh.
Hey, it could happen.
Shut up,
No, that's a
Luke.
good pick. I really like that. The
Thank you.
tie into a potential sequel, I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, they've done that kind of thing before. Like they promoted Corrin
Yeah.
before Fire Emblem Fates came out. You know, so there you go. Speaking of Fire Emblem, my second pick is Hector.
Oh.
Hector has long been requested for the game. He's only second to Lin in my scopes of the Fire Emblem characters that they've wanted in the game. There are no new Fire Emblem characters in Ultimate. So, why not Hector? Okay, there's Crom.
From He's
Okay, but I mean, he's still technically
an
a
echo.
clone.
He's
He's
an
an
echo.
echo. He's an echo. If we're talking completely original Fire Emblem characters, There is none. So
I'm gonna be so sad if Krom is bad. Like, everybody says he's bad. I'm really nervous.
Well, hold on. Remember that a lot of people say Ike is bad, and I won a tournament.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So have I ever mentioned that I won a tournament with Ike? I mean, which, by the way, Tyler, do you like Sonic? I've never heard.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm actually a big fan. He's one of my most anticipated characters for Smash Ultimate.
There you go. But as in all things, Tyler, it's you're bad with one character and you're great with another. So maybe they just don't like how Krom plays. So you might get your hands on him and he'd be a legend. Then he'll be like, "Dare challenge Krom? This is the prince or / king. So you respect the king of Elise." You know. So that's your chance. That's your chance to take down. Dude, there you go. There's your Twitch channel right there.
Yes.
King Krom's challenges. You
Road
play
to
only
being
as
the
Krom.
Best Krom in the world.
Exactly. You play only as Krom and you take on all challengers. There's your Twitch channel. You're welcome. All right. Going back to Hector, though. So, much like you picking, what did you say her name was?
Eldegard.
You know, and they do not have an axe user in the game. And that's the fact. So. And he would be a super heavy character, kind of like Bowser DDD, you know, because he's got that armor, so his mobility would be slow, but his power would be massive. You know, using arm mods, just in full power, just swinging it like nobody's business. He'd be a tough one to control, but for those who can harness his power, he'd be as unstoppable as Hector is in the regular Fire Emblem games. So, I likelihood, I'm going to probably 35%. Because, you know, there are a lot of Fire Emblem characters in the game. Especially now that we got Krom as an Echo. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Alright, this one I'm going off of because of who we haven't seen. Now, in the last Nintendo Direct, me and Tyler were crushed because Shadow and Isaac from Golden Sun were confirmed to be Assist Trophy characters. However, there is one Assist Trophy character that I remember being in at least Brawl, maybe four, I'd have to go recheck, but hasn't been seen since. The Ray MK3 from Custom Robo.
Oh, that's a great pick. There's been rumors and murmurs about that.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Custom Robo, basically it's Nintendo's version of Gundam, except you would like build your own custom robo, literally, and then go do battle. And Ray, the Mark MK versions, yada, 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 was the one of your main character. And he was in Brawl. Again, I have to check about four. But he was not confirmed as a Smash Assist Trophy for Ultimate. And you never know, Custom Robo could make a comeback. So, and he being a robot, which would make him only second to Rob, who is obviously much different than Rob because he's got guns and such. So, that would be, I think there's a lot of potential there. Likelihood, oh gosh, as I'm going down in number, 30%. Because as much as Custom Robo was good on the GameCube and I think the DS, they had a DS game of it. Not the biggest Nintendo franchise, but again, Piranha Plant. So nothing is impossible because of Piranha Plant.
Right.
Oh gosh, there's your presidential slogan, ladies and gentlemen. Piranha Plant, nothing is impossible.
pretty much.
Oh gosh, I gotta calm down before I make my fourth pick. Woo! All right. Next pick. This one is, I don't think it's going to happen, but I've got to have faith in my pick. I want Wolf Link in Midna. And this is different because I know you people are going to say, but Todd, Midna's an assist trophy. Yes, but Wolf Link is not part of that assist trophy. So that's a cheat rule. Okay, you can still have Midna do one thing, but then have her act completely differently as part of Wolf Link, which is an entirely different moveset.
Krom is still Robin's final smash, so
there is
that. Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Look, there's your cheat, because if they could have Krom as a final smash and as a... No, I'm serious, was that really true? Did they show
yes.
like a video of that?
Yes, that's true, 100%.
Awesome. So there you go. So if they can have Krom as a final smash and as an Echo character, there's no reason they can't have Midna as a playable character with Wolf Link. And again, Wolf Link and Midna are an entirely different moveset because they're using Wolf Link's abilities and Midna's abilities, and then the final smash will be Forbidden Shadow. So, yeah! Tyler, you've given me hope, and for that, 60%. 60% chance of Wolf
Link. I just don't see a fourth Link being, even though it's a different thing, I just don't, I can't see it.
Piranha Plant. Nothing is impossible.
Nothing. No, I agree. Nothing is impossible.
Okay. All right. Fifth character. Ooh, I feel I should go off the wall with this one. Not that I haven't gone off the wall already, but I mean, at least I'm not picking a Mortal Kombat character. Oh, there you go. Batman. Kidding.
I would have liked to see Batman.
It's that would be hilarious. Arkham City was on there. Was on the Wii U. The armored edition.
True.
And then Blackgate was on 3DS. So it follows the rule. Let's get Batman and Smash Bros. Game. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay, I gotta stop crying. This is too beautiful. Batman and Smash Brothers. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy, yo.
Yo, oh gosh. That would be awesome. You can't handle the Smash. Okay. Let's see. I want to stick with pure Nintendo. It's too easy to go third party because I would love Sora too. I mean, I've dreamed about having Sora in Smash Brothers. You know, it was part of my 10 third party characters list, which is now honestly only missing Sora, Riku, and Knuckles.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I wish I could have Knuckles. Actually, no wait, Knuckles is confirmed assist trophy. Dang it. I almost forgot. Oh man, I'm trying to think of a good first party character.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard. Dixie Kong comes to mind. I mean,
Dixie Kong.
Bandana Waddle Dee.
Bandana Waddle Dee. Yeah. Don't know. Oh.
Gen 8 Pokemon.
No,
Gen 8
I got
Pokemon.
It. I got it. Okay, if we're going to go Pokemon, it's Decidueye. All right. That's the only other one from Sun and Moon. But
yeah,
here we go. Here's your off the wall pick. Paper Mario.
Good pick. Good pick.
Done. Paper Mario. He'd have different abilities. He'd have he uses paper abilities as much as he can. He'd have a different interpretation of the hammer, and then he can either summon his companions or use the star powers that he's gotten. You know, lots of potential as long as they only include like the first three games. Okay, we don't want Sticker Star. We don't need Paper Jam. All right, so stick with the first three games and we'll be good. So there you go. Let's recap. I got Neku Sakuraba, Hector, Ray Mark 3, Wolf Link, and Paper Mario.
I messed with that list. I think it's pretty good.
And we are going to save these lists. I will make a note or something. And when the characters are released, we will look back at these 15 picks and see who was the most right, who was the most wrong, and how much we need to laugh at Will for picking Mortal Kombat.
Well,
again,
you know
I know, it's a stretch. I just want to just made for fun. Yes.
No, stretch is Piranha Plant's neck, all right?
I think I may have touched on something, though, when I mentioned the Gen 8 Pokemon. I feel pretty confident that a Gen 8 Pokemon will be a DLC character. Nintendo's picking it.
But that's a problem, though, because at present, even though the next Pokemon game is scheduled for late 2019, there's always a chance it could be pushed back.
That's true, but I don't think that would affect the Smash plans. I'm swapping out Dixie on my list for a Gen 8 Pokemon.
Okay. Your funeral. Yeah. And then when Dixie comes out, you're going to be like, I picked Dixie. And then I'm going to be like, no, you didn't. You swapped it out for Gen 8 Pokemon.
Yes, I'm ready for that to happen. I will be so happy if Dixie's in. I won't care. I will accept that.
All right. But yeah, we're going to be... I'm very curious to see when they're going to start announcing it. Because even if they get Piranha Plant done by the launch and then they release it in January... I don't know what I would be very surprised if they didn't really announce the first DLC character either a few weeks after Smash or by January. Like, I like your idea, Tyler, of it being in the Game Awards because that sounds like something Nintendo would do. And the Game Awards promote the heck out of that need to. So we'll see. But lots of potential. With that, we are ending our 106th episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, our poll question last week. What was it? I'm bringing it up as we speak. Yep.
I told him to pin it, and he didn't.
Oh, I forgot. I did forget. Okay, I'm scrolling. I'm almost there. I'm so close. Were you satisfied with the Nintendo Direct? 68% satisfied, 11% not satisfied, 21% thought, it was all right.
How many votes did we have?
19 votes.
That's not bad. We had 51 the week before, so we're like, you know, it's. I remember the one we had like 91 votes in like 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear gosh, All right. So for this poll, I want to do something a little fun. So you could pick one character from your list, and that character will get into Smash Brothers. Okay, so like they're voting for one of our characters to get into Smash Bros. So make your pick. You can pick one of your five. Who do you want?
I mean, Goku.
Oh, gosh. This is my surprise face. Ugh. All right, Tyler.
Banjo.
Okay, Banjo-Kazooie. Go. Two third-party characters? Really? Gosh, dang it. All right, just for that, I'm going Paper Mario. So,
nice.
So you at home and or wherever else you are could pick one of these characters to be in Smash Brothers. Who do you want? Paper Mario, Goku, or Banjo-Kazooie? So, gosh dang it, well, Goku. I mean, I would have been mad if he said Mortal Kombat, I suppose, but yeah, still. All right. Leave it to Todd to be the only Nintendo homer here. And of course, let us know about what you think of all the latest news. What did you think about the NPD legacy numbers or Fave channel? What do you think the next Zelda game is going to be like? Are you excited for Travis Touchdown? Or sorry, No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again? Or the Mario movie? Are you feeling a little bit better about it? Do let us know. So, for Atelius Tyler and Wario Will, I'm Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of the lives. You've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.